now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, I know where I was 35 years ago, second Sunday of January, 35 years ago. We were meeting in the gold room, which wasn't a gold room at that time, but it was the biggest place we had. And it was 20 degrees below zero. And the wind chill factor was 30 below. Now, I don't know if you're a football historian or what, but that was a Sunday, or the Sunday before, but I think that was a Sunday that they played a playoff game in the NFL in Cincinnati, and they were outside playing in that minus 30 degree wind chill factor weather. And we were trying to keep our little room warm back there, because all we had was where the red room is now, but that wasn't usable. It was a great big empty room. And I don't remember how many people showed up, but probably wasn't too many. But we had fun. I mean, we had just moved into the building on the first, or I guess it was the second day of January. And we'd gotten ready, and we'd already had one service and couldn't figure out what to do with the wind. I mean, it was like the wind was blowing through the room. And between that Sunday and the second Sunday, we figured out what we needed to do, because they had air conditioners in the wall. You know, holes knocked in the wall and air conditioners set in. And we got to checking it out. And it was just like there was fans on blowing that cold weather around those air conditioners. So we put some plastic garbage bags, a big black garbage bags. We taped them around the windows. And you know what? They blew up like balloons. I mean, they were just standing out. You know, you could get up and punch them with a pen and pop them. But boy, it did stop the wind. You remember all that, Miss Phyllis? But today, let me go ahead and say this. 35 years ago, they didn't know what we were. The community didn't know what we was. We were an odd bunch. A lot of them still think we're an odd bunch, but at least, you know, we've made a mark that we're here and that we're doing the Lord's work. And some of these rabbits, through the years that I've chased, even though we were chasing a rabbit, I'm sure that when it was over, you say, boy, that rabbit tastes good. Yeah, absolutely. But I'm not going to stand up here and reminisce. Or we'd chase a rabbit all the way to California. But here a few days ago, I felt the Spirit of God speak to me. And it was just one phrase. Just one phrase. And it was this phrase. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? And that was all. And several times over the next few days, I found myself thinking, oh, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Now we've got to understand the situation that Galatia was in when Paul wrote this letter to them. They had accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ. They had committed themselves to believing in the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They had made a commitment to Him that caused the Lord to pour out His Spirit in their heart. Now, Paul is not writing here about something that could happen. Paul is writing, addressing an issue that's going on at the present time of this writing. Although the Galatians had accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they were thriving in it, they were doing remarkable things and seeing remarkable things. And then along came Jones. A group from Jerusalem. A group of Jewish background. And they came to Galatia and they were preaching something different than what the Galatians had accepted. The Galatians were never, when they found out about Jesus Christ and came in contact with Him, they were never told. They were Gentiles. And they were never told that they had to be like Jews. That was never part of the gospel to the Gentiles. But these people came and they said, what you're doing is not enough. What you're doing is not enough. You're not really saved until you're circumcised. And unless you're circumcised, you're not walking in the gospel. And so there was a big issue here because a lot of the people were accepting this because, well, they're Jewish. They should know. They've been around the law all their lives. They've been around it for thousands of years. They had. But it was their law. It was a law that God gave the Jews, not a law that God gave to the Gentiles. And in Galatians chapter 3, begin with verse 1. Oh, foolish. Well, now let's go back up to verse 21. I read this earlier, but let's read it again. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain or died for nothing. Oh, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? What was the truth he's talking about? He's talking about the truth that says, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The truth they were not accepting was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved in your household. Jesus rose from the dead that we might be justified before God. That our relationship with God doesn't depend on what we do, it depended on what Jesus did. That was the truth. And he said, somebody's bewitched you because you quit obeying the truth and now you're trying to add something to it. That word there, bewitched, is a relatively strong word. I mean, I know that years ago, some of you old enough, there may be here that you remember the TV program that came on called Bewitched. But bewitched means that you have fallen under the spell of something that has clouded your mind or shut your mind off from reality. Who has hypnotized you? Who has hypnotized you? Now, I don't know yet, even after all these years, the extent that I believe that you can go with hypnosis. I used to not even believe that it worked, but I guess it does something. When you start fooling your mind like that, what you do is you get bewitched. Things start looking different. They don't seem to be the same. Beguiled is another word. But you know, there's a scripture in Corinthians where Paul says that the problem with the lot is that the god of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they cannot see the truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel is so simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive the Spirit of God into your life. And live then by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit of God. Now I know this is, you know, with the group this morning and here, that I may be preaching to the choir. But I'm talking about things that you're going to run into every day out here in the world. And you're going to have somebody tell you that something's the truth, and there's going to be something inside of you says, that's all right. But if you allow yourself to be overcome by the voices that you hear, and whether they're in your head or whether they're standing next to you talking, saying, well, at our church we do this, at our church we don't believe in that kind of stuff. You know, in some cases you might as well say, well, in our church we don't really believe the Bible. We don't really hold it in that high esteem. Oh, we believe the parts of it that we like. I heard a man one time. Hallelujah. Let's see, I got it back. But it may not stay. Well, just put it here in the case. Must be on my water. Okay, so. And this man said he believed that all of the writings of Paul should never been in the Bible to begin with. And evidently, he didn't agree with a lot of the things Paul had to say. You know, so one thing I can credit him with, he evidently was familiar with the Bible, but just parts of it he didn't like. And so if you take out all the writings of Paul, you know what you got left? But you got a very limited. You know, it's like it'd be like having a book that went from chapter 3 to chapter 17, and there wasn't any 4 through 16 in there. There are some people now, and I mean, this is not just out here on the street. You go to seminary, and they teach you against the supernatural. Anything that involves the supernatural, you know, it's questionable. You know, Jesus, to rationalize away all of the miracles that he did. When it talks about Jesus walking on water, they say, well, now he walked on water because he knew where it was real shallow. And it just looked like he was walking on the water, you know. That real shallow water is the one Peter sunk in. Now, if it wasn't any deeper than to get Jesus' ankles wet, it shouldn't have been any deep enough to get more than Peter's ankles wet. But you know, many times we don't obey the truth, not because there is no truth, but because something else has blinded us from seeing the truth. And Paul is telling the Galatians, and he tells it, I mean, he uses it plainly a little further on. He said, if you turn back to righteousness by the law, you have fallen from grace. And almost every preacher that ever preached that uses that scripture says that falling from grace means that you've given up on God and you've gone back to sin. Not in the context of it. And a lot of people, they read the scriptures and, you know, they think that because it's a verse or because it's a chapter, that it has its own rites and own readings. There's no chapters and verses in these manuscripts. Paul didn't write his letter and didn't call them back and say, hey, you remember in verse 6 of that letter I sent you? So that's why he says here, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Oh, foolish Galatians! Who has bewitched you that you should obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? What he's saying is, I taught you the truth. It was preached to you as the truth. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins. That he died for your sins. This only I want to learn from you. Now he's putting it back on their plate. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Did you receive the Spirit by the Hallelujah. Don't want this. Now, in other words, did you work until you had the right to claim the Spirit of God to come and live in you? Hey, I just passed. I finished the high school mark. I got an A+. I graduated from high school with an A average. Now, what's that get me? It'll get you something. Might get you a scholarship to college. But all of our righteousness, the scripture says, all of our righteousness in the sight of God is as filthy rags. Now, in other words, what he's saying is that every work that we take before God in an attempt to solidify our relationship with him is like handing him a dirty rag. And yet, we saw many times have been taught believing in Jesus Christ is not enough. You got to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. What? You got to speak in tongues to be saved. Scriptures does not say that. The scripture does not say you have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit to be saved. It says you have to receive Jesus into your heart and the Spirit of God then will renew your spirit. Amen. Well, we don't believe in miracles anymore. Okay, well then that's a big portion of scripture that you're not going to have to deal with. And it's amazing to me at how much, I mean, I grew up knowing, learning the Bible. I won't say I know it, I knew it all. But I grew up learning the Bible all my life. In Sunday school curriculum and listening to the preacher. And I could remember even when I was a little boy. I mean, a little boy, like 5 or 6 years old. I can remember laying down in the pew in a church service with my head on my mom's lap. And I would lay there, and the ceiling was a tile ceiling, but it was one of those offset kind, you know. You didn't have a straight line for everything, you know. You had some of them off center. And I would lay there, and I'd look up the ceiling, and I would follow those things like a road. I'd go here and then I'd have to turn. And then I'd go over here and then I'd have to turn again. Then I'd go over here and have to turn again. And I don't know how many times I went back and forth across that ceiling. But you know what was happening?
You were hearing, right?
I was hearing something.
Right. You sure weren't alone on that road.
Yeah. Chasing rabbits. But I got older. And you know what I knew about the scriptures? I knew what I heard preached. I knew what I heard preached. That was the extent of the limit. But thank God I had been in a church that preached salvation and that didn't question the Word of God as much as some other places, you know. I never heard the pastors there ever once say, you know, God doesn't do this anymore. It was never part of the lecture, never part of the sermon, never part of the Sunday school lesson. They just didn't know how to take it as far as it needed to go. And I would read the scriptures and I would see the things that I had heard preached. And so when I got called into the ministry, I started out in that denomination preaching what I'd heard preached. And after about 2-3 years, I think it was 2 years going on the third year, I got really frustrated because I went before God and I said, God, if this is all there is, if I've got everything that there is to have, I'm ready to quit. If there's no more than what I've got, I'm ready to quit. And you know what? A door opened suddenly and without warning. And I began to hear about things. I sat at the table at a seminary and another minister that was there from Tennessee got into a conversation about demonic spirits, demons. And he was sharing an experience that he had with a family down in Tennessee. How this demon spirit in their kid was so strong that he would talk back to them. He basically had them obeying him. And you'd have to ask him, somebody came up to the house, you'd have to ask him if it's all right to let them come in. Now, I don't think I didn't get my attention. as a good Methodist boy, I wasn't used to that kind of stuff. But he shared it with such reality. And then this whole thing of speaking in tongues and all the other things, it started opening up. And after I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, it was just like I had been reading the scriptures in the dark and somebody turned on a light. And scriptures that I read were so obvious. I mean, there is nothing in the New Testament that ever hints to the fact that in order to be saved, we have to do something other than believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a lot of other stuff. There's a lot of teaching in the New Testament on how to live. But we've made it into, and when I say we, I'm talking about the church generally, we have made it not just a way to live, but we have made it as if you don't live this way, if you don't act this way, if you don't do this, God will turn his back on you. And you will fall from grace. And you'll lose your salvation. If nothing that you did got you saved, then nothing that you're going to do is going to get you unsaved. But Pastor, what about all these sins? What about these lifestyles? I'm talking about them. There's sin out there. There's lifestyles out there. And you participate in them enough, and they themselves will not drag you away from God. They will turn your mind into believing that God doesn't love me anymore. God's mad at you. Well, who was the ones that God was mad at when he sent his only son? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that all those that he wasn't mad at. God's never mad at you. Now, God may discipline you, but mad in the sense of mad, you know, if we were endowed with all the power of God readily available to us, and we got mad at somebody, I can promise you they'd end up in a bad state of affairs. Because we take care of that issue that made us mad. But you see, with the love of God, God being love, and he looks at us, he may be, in the spiritual sense, he may be hurt, he may be disappointed, but he'll never tell you, I'm sorry. I don't have time for you. I don't want to help you. I just want you to go away and I'll leave you alone and you leave me alone. And that's the way we'll live. God's not going to do that. But the devil will tell you he will. A lot of people in the church are bewitched. Now, one of the greatest things that they're bewitched about is if they're in a group that believes that they're the only group that's going. The Bible tells us here that basically what happens to the Galatians was that they fell under the influence of a demonic spirit that was trying to distort the gospel. Anytime you add something to salvation through believing in Jesus Christ, plus something else, you're bewitched. I mean, you know, there's groups that they're bewitched by the enemy because they believe that you got to dress certain ways, you got to wear a certain thing, can't wear this, you know, whatever it is. There's some bewitched when they could, because you can only use the King James Version of the Bible. If it's not the King James Version of the Bible, it's heresy. Oh, you know, the King James Version of the Bible is very, very good. I use a new King James because it's the old King James in English language now. It's just the these and the thous and all of that are changed to you. Now, why is it when you go out here and share the gospel with somebody, do you have to share it with them? And the King James Version? Do you have to witness to them using the these and the thous? If thee shall repent of thy sins, I mean, we had a group. I don't know if they still do that, but in the beginning, that was one of the ways you could distinguish Quakers. So they used the King James Version of Scripture. But if we want the real Scripture, you got to go all the way back and you got to get it out of the Greek and the Hebrew. Now, you can either get it out of the Greek and the Hebrew by learning Greek and Hebrew, or you can get it out of the Greek and Hebrew by trusting somebody that's had the Greek and Hebrew. And you can't do that. Some of the greatest Greek scholars believe the least. Why? Because they're bewitched. They're more concerned in the logistics of the thing than they are in the spirit and the word of Scripture. I've known of men, young men. I've known of young men be on fire for God and go to seminary and come out of seminary dead. Come out of there not believing anything that they believed before. I remember, it's been a long, long time ago, and I won't call any names or anything, but there was a young man got saved in this area. Thank you. And boy, did he have an evangelistic spirit on him. He'd had a relationship with God, and he was in his late teens. And man, he got fired up. He started wearing off on the young people of our communities around here. And he'd have meetings, and there would be dozens and maybe even hundreds that would come. And these young people were getting saved, and it was just awesome, and everybody around knew about it, if you're old enough to know who I might be talking about. And he was dynamic. And And the organization that he was mostly associated with required, if he was going to get a license to preach or whatever, he had to have seminary education. Okay, so going to get this seminary education, make a great, mighty man of God and pastor churches and do all this. They should have left him alone. Because by the time he got out of seminary, he quit. He quit preaching. He learned so much in seminary now that he didn't believe what he'd been telling before. He was bewitched. And have you talked to people and tried to share with them the truth of the gospel, what it says in Scripture? And either they tell you that it don't really mean what it says, it means something else, or they just ignore you, act like they could just rip you to shreds since you're wrong. You ever encounter people like that? You ever try to talk to somebody about speaking in tongues? Get your head cut off? Verbally? Yeah, it's passed away. Miracles. We had a miracle. You had a miracle. Oh, you don't know miracle? Miracles have passed away. I got healed. No, you didn't get healed because God doesn't heal people anymore. We're not talking about just arguments here based on words and based on ideas. We're talking about an argument here that is deeper than words. We're talking about confronting a bewitching spirit. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Now tell me why you can't just read that and understand it. In other words, you got saved by believing in Jesus Christ. Now are you going to be made perfect by what you do in the flesh? In other words, the keeping the law or whatever it might be. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? In other words, he said, the power that you've seen, the things that you've seen that you can't explain, the presence of the Spirit of God that has been manifested throughout the church in Galatia, all of the things that have happened here. He said, did they happen because you kept the law or because you believed in Jesus Christ? Does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Oh, this group over here kept the law. They've been really good law keepers. Let's give them something extra. He looks over, oh, this group's kept the law. No, they've not kept the law. They've tried to keep the law. They've been burdened themselves to the law. They've been bewitched by the law. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. You know, that was 400 years before the law. Abraham believed God and God counted it righteousness. How do you become righteous? Believe God. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be made righteous. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. As the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. The Gentiles were never justified because they accepted the Mosaic law. They were justified because they believed in Jesus. And then here some of these well-meaning people, well-educated people, they came on in and they said, now wait a minute, believing is just not enough. Believing is not enough. I'll tell you what, you can look at some people and their church, their denomination, their group. And with all that they have included and required of people in order to be saved, they certainly have never understood the gospel of Jesus Christ is simple. Simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. To make it clear, Paul is teaching the Gentiles at Galatia that you are saved because you accepted Jesus Christ, because you accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you are not saved through circumcision. You accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you believe in Him, then keep it simple. Don't add something to it. Because if you do, if you follow that, you drop back into what Paul said, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. There is no higher belief with regarding salvation and Jesus Christ than to believe in grace. God sent His Son because of grace. We are saved because of grace. We receive the things that God's promised in His Word to those who receive the Spirit by grace. It's the highest form of relationship you can have with God. Because the Bible says anything less than that, you fail. And I tell you what, if you're on the third floor of a building and you fall out the window, you're going to end up on the ground. And no matter how many times you repeat that, well, what I'm trying to do is to get to the fifth floor. And you're doing that by falling out the window on the third floor. You can do that forever, and you're never going to fall from the third floor to the fifth. Because the fifth is higher. And what I'm saying is this. If you try to add anything in your relationship with God, and I'm not talking about your day-to-day walk. That's what the Word of God says. You can mess yourself up big time. You can violate the things of God, and you'll pay the price. You can get to the point where you can actually quit believing that you're even saved. But grace is the epitome. You can never fall up to grace. It's the top floor. It's a penthouse. When you get there, buddy, do you have a relationship with God? Because you know that you're not earning that relationship. God gave it to you. And that'll put you at peace. Do I live just anyway because I believe in grace? No. If I really accept grace, grace changes me. It's not just an idea. It's a power.
That's right.
And the Spirit of God inside of you and that grace of God, I don't have to read the law and say, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. You know, it's just like Adair County, for instance. I'll give this an example. Voted in to be wet, you know, to allow alcoholic beverages and bulk. And you know, it just kind of was a surprise. I mean, just kind of a different thing. Go through Walmart and see this big display of beer and this other stuff. But you know what? I haven't bought any. I haven't even felt like buying any. Just because it's legal now? You know, it's not against the law to commit adultery. I mean the law of man. You're not going to go to jail because you commit adultery. But you see, I don't want to. In my heart, I don't want to. Spirit of God inside of me doesn't want to. Everything within me says, that lady right there is all you need or you'll ever need. And want. So you know, we're really in a situation that's not much different than the Galatians. You could have gone to a lot of churches this morning and they would have all told you what you had to do in order to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For they that come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. When you diligently seek Him, His Spirit will tell you how to live. You know, there may be a lot of people that listen to this message that I preached this morning and just said, well, He's giving people a license to sin. I'm not giving you a license or anything. If you sin, you're going to pay the consequences on this earth. You rob a bank, you go in jail if you get caught. You kill somebody, you go in jail. But now let me ask you this. How many of you here this morning have plotted on robbing a bank just because it's illegal? You see, I'm not planning on Budweiser will never get any of my money just because they're legal. I better quit. I'm finding it hard to keep from chasing rabbits. But don't be bewitched. I found out that the Word of God is the Word of God. Read it, believe it, hold on to it, give it the highest priority in your life, and don't try to change it. And ask God for the intelligence and the spiritual wisdom to help you see when somebody else has been bewitched into believing something that's not the truth of the gospel, even though it may be the major thing in their particular denomination or church. You see, I don't believe exactly like I believed 35 years ago. You know what that says? I've gained some ground. I've gained some ground. I'm not where I used to be. I didn't waste the last 35 years. But if we don't ever see changes in our life, we don't see things open up before us. And I'm talking about through the Spirit of God. Just make sure you're not bewitched. Let's stand. Well, as far as I know, Sister Shirley will be back next week and she won't keep as long as I did. Just give her some time, though, and you don't ever know what might happen. I want you, if you have a prayer request, I want you just lift your hand and pretend like you're holding that in your hand before God this morning. If it's concerning you or somebody else, you on the internet that may be listening to this, God is still God. Jesus Christ is still on the throne. All authority is given to Him. And He gave it to us. Now, Lord, I just come before You right now. I come before You on behalf of every hand in here that's raised. They're bringing something before You. They may be bringing somebody, some situation, something involving them or someone else. And I thank You, Lord God, that You said that You would hear us. And that if we know that You hear us, we know that we have the thing we've asked for. I thank You, Lord God, for being with the ones that are absent today. I just pray, Lord God, if there was physical reasons, that You touch them and minister to them, Lord God. Thank You for watching after them, taking care of them this week. Thank You, Lord God, for Your grace. Amen. For giving us something that is far above anything we can obtain in our own effort. And Lord, I know that Your scripture says that if we try to gain our righteousness by keeping the law, we've fallen from grace. We've lowered ourselves. I thank You, Lord, for Your blessing. Thank You for going with each one, Lord God, ministering to them this week, guiding them in everything they do. We give You the praise and the honor and the glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Silver tongue.